And if you were a doctor, you would say, wheel it into the ICU, put it on the life machine, because this church is going to die. In verse 2, you'll see what the issue is. We're told here, I have not found thy works perfect before God.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Today we're turning to the Lord's letter to the church at Sardis. We're going to call it the sick church. That will help us to remember the message which God has for this people. Let's read the letter and then we'll seek the Lord's help. Revelation chapter 3. Unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, and art dead. Be watchful, and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If, therefore, thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before thy Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Well, we call this the sick church because the Lord said to it, Thou art ready to die. Oh boy, what a tough message to receive. If we were to hear that word from the Lord about our congregation, we would be very, very depleted and cast down. Thou art ready to die. And oh, what a warning it is to us that spiritual life is needed. Grace is needed. The life of God in our souls is needed, that we may stand for Jesus in these times. Please join with me in prayer as we plead with God to give us life in our souls and life in our church and life in our preaching. Father, we pray that you will come and minister to us afresh today. Thank you for this faithful word that you had for the church at Sardis, that you did not wish for it to die. You did not wish for it to burn out, but rather that they attend to the things that are wanting, that they might live on and be faithful unto thee. O God, I pray today that you would be gracious to pour in your grace, your Holy Spirit, to give life and power to your church. May we not become lethargic and lazy. May we not lose sight of the purpose of the Great Commission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel, but may we be found faithful, serving and preaching the word of God and doing so with all our hearts. Dear Lord, we pray that you will breathe upon us. Bless every hearer of thy word today. Encourage the saints. Speak to the lost. Call men and women out of deadness into life, true saving life in the Lord Jesus. This we ask and pray in our Savior's name. Amen. Now we turn to the message. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3, to the minister of the church in Sardis.
I see Alan's closing the door to the hallway. Did I hear someone say in the hallway tonight, don't join this church because it's dying? Well, that has been said about Dr. Paisley's church in Belfast many, many years ago and many times. In fact, there was a man there that always said, when Dr. Paisley dies, this church will be turned into a supermarket. And they thought there was no future for it. But praise God, the gospel is still being preached in that place. Now, we started out really as nomads in this congregation, and when we were meeting in a log building in Cloverdale, just south of 60 and 176, right in behind the United Church building, there we were, and I'm sure many people said, this is never going to last. Of course, we were just utilizing the facility. It was actually free of charge to us, because it was a care facility, a care daycare, and they needed a church to use the building so they would get registration for their daycare. And so we were asked to come. But then once they got their registration, attitudes changed, and there came a point we had to move from there, even before this building here was ready. But thank God we're still here. And of course, we have nothing to boast in apart from God's mercy and the Lord's goodness to us. When you're in the Lord's work for a while, you soon learn that every church is a miracle, an absolute miracle. No church should exist, no church should function, and no church should prosper, certainly just by human means. And it is an ongoing work of God's grace that a church goes on from strength to strength. And we can only attribute our health and our well-being to the good care of our shepherd, the Lord Jesus. He is the great shepherd. We are just the under shepherds. When we come to this church at Sardis, we discover that it was the church that was sick, a church that was really needing life support. And if you were a doctor, you would say, wheel it into the ICU, put it on the life machine, because this church is going to die. In verse 2, you'll see what the issue is. We're told here, I have not found thy works perfect before God. Now, let's slow up a little bit and explain that the word perfect very often in the Bible means mature. It does not mean totally sinless, totally, absolutely God perfect. But this church at Sardis did not reach the mark. It did not come up to the standard that God expected of his church. And we learn from this that God has expectations for his church. We are not to worship any old way. We are not just to have man's agenda. There are standards, there are practices, and there is an attitude which ought to please God and bring honor and glory unto him. Now, it could be said of many churches that you have a name to live, but are dead. And a church may have a great name. Indeed, it may have a fame. It may have a wonderful heritage, past establishment of that witness, faithful ministry, men and women making sacrifices for the cause of Christ, paying the price. But then another generation comes along, they don't know the Lord, and they don't stand for the Lord, and the church falls into disrepute. Indeed, some places you might write Ichabod. The glory of God and the blessing of God has departed. And so we respond here tonight, Lord, don't ever let that happen to us. What are we to do? Well, the instructions are very clear for us. If you go back to verse 2, it says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. And so here is what we must do. We don't want to become a relic. We don't want the church to become a museum for people merely to come looking around, observing, and mocking. They don't want this church to die, but to be alive and useful unto God. And I take my cue tonight from these words: strengthen the things that remain. There were things in this church, there were people still in this church that were doing the right, and they were to be strengthened. And I want us tonight to be stirred up that we will strengthen the things that remain. And isn't it a miracle? Think on this now. 2,000 years from the writing of this letter to this church and each of these churches, we are still a gospel church today. In all the changes of nationality, culture, people, you have a heart to worship the Lord Jesus and glorify God. And united together, we form the church of the Lord Jesus. And here we're called upon to strengthen the things that remain. Now that brings me to a number of points here tonight. We must love the Lord's church. If we want to strengthen her, we must love the Lord's church. We also need to be watchmen over the Lord's church, and we must be overcomers. There are promises in this letter to those that are overcome. They will walk in white and serve God. Now, notice how I phrased those points. It's the Lord's church. It's not my church, and it's not your church. It's the Lord's church. And that is what we must always remember. And that's why the Lord cares. And that's why he sends this letter, this message to this church and to us tonight as we read and study and preach the Bible. Now, that brings me then to this first heading. As the people who love his church, why would you take an interest in this body, this institution, this organization that is referred to as the church? Why would anyone dedicate their whole life to ministering, serving, building up, laboring to advance the church of the Lord Jesus? Well, firstly, because she is Christ's bride. The Lord loves his church with a wonderful, amazing love. You read Ephesians 5. Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And that's the model for us husbands, that we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And the Lord came down from glory, went all the way to Calvary, bled and died to purchase a bride, to redeem her, and to establish this witness in this world for his glory and for his name. And when we come into the midst of the gospel church, we come into the midst of the fairest experience of the Lord's bride that we will ever find on earth. And yes, I'm talking about our own congregation, the visible local church of the Lord Jesus. Now, of course, you could go to where there are larger congregations. You could go to places that have greater cathedral-like buildings. And you could have all kinds of ministers, men with personalities and talents, and so on. Those things do differ. But when we come with the Word of God, with the worship of the Lord Jesus, and with men and women who are in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I trust you are, I hope you didn't come to God's house tonight bankrupt spiritually. I hope you didn't come with an empty heart, but you've come to contribute, to bring your own testimony, your own voice, your own enthusiasm, that you might be a spoke in the wheel of advancing the Lord's church. And of course, we ought to be as jealous for the church as the Lord is of his own bride. Now, husbands, we want to protect our wives. And if we see them under threat or attack, we are going to jump to the front of the queue. At least we should. And we would pray for the guts and the grace to do it. And the Lord Jesus is jealous of his own church because she is deeply loved by the Lord. And there ought to be in our hearts tonight a deep, true, genuine love for the body of the Lord Jesus. You remember when Paul the Apostle, or Saul of Tarsus as he was persecuting the church, and the Lord said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" What he was doing to Christians, he was doing to the Lord. And so we come tonight into the midst of a body of people, a living organism of the church of the Lord Jesus that the Lord loves. And we are his body. Christ is the head. We are the members in the body. Now, some of these little parts in the human body don't seem to be all that important until you take the hammer to your thumb, or until you step on a nail, or until you bang your elbow and your funny bone on something, and you realize that everything is interconnected, and when there's pain in the body, the head suffers, the rest of the body suffers. And so we have an interest in the body because it's to glorify the head. It is to serve the head. And your contribution, your witness, your service for Christ in his church glorifies the head. And that's why we need to strengthen the things that remain. The church is also a place of edification. To edify means to build up. We talk about an edifice, a building. Well, the ministry of the church is to build up the saints, to lead those who are born again, converted, who love the Savior, and to strengthen each brother and sister in Christ. What lonely, cold, frustrated individual Christians we would be if there was no church. We would be like that coal on the fire. When it falls out onto the grate, it loses its heat rapidly. But back in the fire, it can be warm and red hot in no time. And the church is the place that God has ordained to put his people and bring them into blessing. The church is also the arena of redemption. It's the place where we pray for souls to be converted. Where boys and girls, young people, outsiders, friends, family are invited to hear this glorious message that Jesus saves. It's a simple message. We don't have to be rocket scientists to know it and preach it, nor to understand it. It's the simple ABC. All have sinned. Behold the Lamb of God. Call on the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. But the church is invested with the task to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we've got to keep doing it. Or as Paul said, do the work of an evangelist. And if the church is not alive and functioning well, she will not do the work of an evangelist. And communities and countries will lose the very wonders of salvation. Now, one more thought about why we love the church. It's the place of cross-bearing. The Lord Jesus said that we are to take up his cross and follow him. And if we will not take up his cross, then we're not worthy to be his disciple. Well, where is it that you take up your cross? Is it in your home? Is it in the supermarket? Is it in your workplace? Sometimes. And sometimes it's a battle to live as a Christian in those places. But the place where we come together to worship the Lord and identify with his church is where we bear the cross, the reproach of Jesus Christ. You go to that Free Presbyterian Church, those Christians, what kind of person are you? What goes on in there anyway? And you're called to explain who you are, what you are, why you're interested, because you have an interest and a part in the church of the Lord Jesus. I read in Acts 2:42 that when Pentecost broke out and there were many converts, that they continued in doctrine and in fellowship. That was the mark of a people that were revived and in blessing. And when God's people are in blessing, they will want to shoulder the witness of Christ in his church and even be an instrument of God to bring others to hear that wonderful message of the gospel. So strengthen the things that remain. Love the church. Love the church. I think it a very sad thing in our day that so many professing Christians have such little love for the Lord's church. And that can be calculated in many ways. There are some that don't want the reproach or the shame. Some who say, well, I just want to be in a big church where it's popular. But where you have the church that are taking a stand against sin and the world and apostasy, that's a tough thing for me. Well, it's what the Lord calls us to do, to love his church. Can you say tonight that you have a part in ministering, promoting the Lord's church? How would you do that? Well, faithful attendance, bringing others, bringing your family, being a role model, praying for the church, praying for the preaching of the gospel. These are the things we need to engage in if we deeply love the Lord's church. Now we move on to watchmen. Here back in Revelation 3, we have this call to be watchmen. And if you read back in verse 2 again, it says, be watchful. Be watchful. And then it says, remember therefore, that's verse 3. So to watch for the Lord's church, some things are listed for us right there in verse 3. Remember therefore how thou hast received. So we need to be watchful to receive. Receive. What could that possibly mean? Feed. To learn. And the Christian must be continually drawing from the grace of the Savior. Just like a hothouse plant. When it is watered and nurtured with the nutrients that are fed, sometimes they're constantly drip fed. And that plant is constantly receiving. And if it's not receiving, it stops growing. It stops producing fruit. And we as Christians need to watch our own intake, that we are truly feeding and receiving the grace of the Lord Jesus. You see, Christians receiving the ministry of the Lord, it's like filling water into a colander. And sometimes you wash the vegetables in that colander, and of course it's full of holes, and the water just runs straight through. Now it does its work. It washes, and it renews, and it prepares the food. And when you are receiving the ministry of the Lord's word, whether you're reading it yourself, Bible study, or coming to the preaching of the word, you are receiving the word. But if you stop receiving, then you're going to be wilting and dying.
Pastures free, he leadeth me.
Thank you for staying with us and listening to the message here today, and I hope that you are personally daily feeding on the grace of the Savior. We are saved once, but we need to be fed each and every day. Just as the manna fell in the wilderness and the people ate of it 6 days a week. In fact, they gathered it 6 days a week, and they also enjoyed it on the Lord's Day or the seventh day. And each and every day in our Christian lives, we need to be feeding. Even it's just one verse that we memorize and get that word into our hearts and let that word dwell in us richly. As we do so, the Holy Spirit comes and ministers. He uses the light, the truth of that word to feed our souls and increase our faith. And we, that is our responsibility, then God takes that word and uses it in our hearts and in our souls. So I hope that you are a daily Bible reader and that you meditate upon it. Give it time. Let it sink in. Just don't read the Bible as you shave in the morning. Don't just read the Bible as you dash out the door and take one look at it and run. No, you need to feed upon it. And the Lord promises that that life will grow and abound in our souls. And so we are made strong in the Lord. Stand by now for these closing announcements. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you will find it on our podcast on iTunes. Search for Let the Bible Speak podcast. Or you can find our programs archived by program date on our website. There you can search for sermons and articles to help you know God's way of salvation and live the Christian life. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. If you've been blessed through the Lord's Word today, and if I can be of personal help to you, please feel free to call me, Ian Gollaher, at 604-576-1091. For information on our Free Presbyterian Church in Scarborough at Nielsen and Finch, you can contact Dr. Larry Saunders at 416-297-1212 or go to the church website www.torontofpc.ca. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Barrie, call Reverend Anthony Dodurno at 416-305-4274. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Port Hope, contact Reverend Reggie Cranston at 905-885-2240 or click on porthopefpc.org. You will be welcome at any of their Sunday services at 11 a.m. or 6 p.m. May the Lord bless you with saving faith in our Lord Jesus. As the Savior of sinners, He is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Be sure to join us again at this time next week here on Joy Radio when once more we let the Bible speak.